village of Stoke Bardolph is on the opposite side of the River Trent to where I was, and on the other side to Stoke Bardolph, there's kind of a grassy flat floodplain and small groups of willow trees, which I was doing some improvisation work. But in order to access the group of willows, I had to walk across this flat meadow, the floodplain of the River Trent, which had a whole flock of sheep grazing. It's quite a long walk. It's about 10, 12, 15 minutes each way there and back. And on both occasions, the group of sheep were being very vocal, and of course there were lots of different ages of the sheep with different vocal timbres, and it was glorious. I felt that the sheep grazing was a sound work all on its own.
This is Anna Frizz in Montreal. From 2001 to 2003, I recorded sounds along the Lachine Canal in Montreal, in old industrial buildings that had been abandoned. Some of the sounds you hear include bricks that were all over the floor of an old grain silo, and metallic sounds from either an old brewery or from a series of abandoned rail sheds. All of these buildings have since been renovated or demolished.
The recordings I made in Tamanagara. It's one of the oldest rainforests in the world. It's in Malaysia. It starts off with a pretty heavy rain, and then that rain finally subsides, and then you can hear the jungle coming alive again. And it's very much of a composition in that sense. I mean, nature composing its own music.
The Setu people are an ethnic minority group living in southeast Estonia. Every August, they hold a folk song festival where the young and old women of the area improvise on traditional melodies with contemporary concerns such as taxes, the new economy, Russia and the EU, and the internet.
Se tundaa kyllä tänä teistä, noiks The soundscape was recorded in Nepal in November 2004 in a Bhaktapur small town in Kathmandu Valley. It was afternoon when me and Eva walked down a narrow bended street, which was a street of craftsmen's workshops. It was filled with sound of people working, children playing all around, and women washing clothes in front of their houses. So we walked down the street until we entered a square, which was covered with pottery and carpets of grain and corn that was laid out in the sunlight. And in the center, beside the stupa, was sitting an old lady who was wailing on a wooden loom. That loom made a quiet chattering sound, and that sound seemed to connect every single object of the square, organizing time-space in a very precise scale.
This is a sound recording of ocean waves. I am standing in front of Atlantic Ocean near Saint-Palais Seaside Resort in France. Foots in sand, and I listen closely to the endless thin rhythm of waves. This is a very simple recording, but it brings so many souvenirs. Breathing stones. Well, in fact, I am sit on reefs a few meters from the Atlantic Ocean, Saint-Palais Seaside Resort in France. There are many, many caves and holes in rocks, and what sounds like someone's breathing is in fact the air pressure of waves or tides entering the caves, just like a natural water pump.
Tide, wind, and temperature in a certain balance, creating small and complex interactions of air, ice, and water. Some strange creatures sleeping just below the surface, bubbling lava fields, mineral waters flowing deep inside the earth. This rare event proved to be the single most frustrating recording experience of my stay in Katawashta, as it exposed all the limitations of my consumer-grade mini-disc and microphone combination.
This recording was made in August 2005 on a beach in Suffolk, England. On either side of the recording location was a large round Martello tower built in the Napoleonic era to protect England from a possible French invasion. And just up the coast is a deserted fishing village called Shingle Street that was evacuated at the beginning of the Second World War in preparation for a possible German invasion. The beach itself is stony, with a steep camber into the sea, and behind the beach is a large earth bank which protects the flat land behind from flooding. The recording is made with a hydrophone, an underwater microphone, which picks up the sound of the strong tide as it moves the pebbles around on the seashore.
In 2004, I travelled to the Cwm Festival in Wales and recorded some of the lightning activity in that area on my home-built VLF radio receiver. The receiver picks up the electromagnetic radio frequencies generated by lightning anywhere within a 2,000-mile radius. The optimum time for receiving these transmissions is an hour after sunset or 1 to 2 hours before sunrise, this recording being made at about 5 a.m. on the 20th of August 2004. With hardly any cloud in the sky, the conditions were perfect, and it is possible to hear all of the various lightning phenomena, such as tweaks, spherics, and whistlers.
My name is Aaron Zim. I am a field recordist. I live in San Francisco, California. I've been making field recordings since 1998. Making recordings while traveling is my favorite way to experience the places that I go. It's become an almost meditative practice for me, a way of making sure that I'm fully present to where I am. One of the things I particularly love as a recordist is when there's unintentionally musical complexity going on in the world. And this recording that I made in Wuhan in China is no exception. Here, as in other places we saw in China, shopkeepers were using small electronic samplers to capture their sales pitches and then repeat them out onto the street. In this case, I think it was two sampling megaphones doing variations of the same sales pitch, but at slightly different speeds. So as you listen, they would phase back and forth over each other, almost like a Steve Reich piece. On our honeymoon, my wife and I visited Tibet. It was a place I always wanted to go and had been turned away from once before. In the center of Lhasa is an area called the Barkor, which is the most Tibetan part of the city, which has become increasingly Han Chinese over the past few decades. And in the center of the Barkor is the temple complex, which is probably the spiritual heart of Tibetan Buddhism, at least traditionally. And that's the Jokong. And while we were there, there was a work team of Tibetans doing restoration on the ceiling and singing as they did rhythmic work.
According to the Russian Orthodox calendar, January 7th is Christmas. We were lucky enough to have one of the largest Orthodox cathedrals in Latvia, dating back to the turn of the century, standing 100 meters from our door. So we braved the cold for a midnight mass. This ear-mount binaural recording captures three conceptual spaces within this church. The performance space, where priest and choir carry out their mysterious rituals. The social space, where common people come together to whisper, shuffle their feet, sniffle from the cold, and even forget to turn off their mobile phones. And finally, the acoustic space, where the architectural reverberations create characters of their own.